Started this season with the theme of Christmas is the reason for worship. And last week we took a look at Mary. And we took a look at her wonderful story and how that she was hit out of the blue with this amazing news, this big news that was unlike anything that had ever happened in the past and unlike anything that was ever going to happen in the future. And of this most unique news, she just took it with such grace. This highly favored woman had such great faith that when the angel told her of this, her response was to fall to her knees in worship and say, God, whatever you want from me is what I will do. And we talk about the ultimate worship is the surrender of ourselves to Jesus Christ. And we talked about the wonder of Christmas. And that is a reason to worship. That as we wonder at the fact that God in heaven came to this earth and put on a body like ours and lived like we did so he could then die for us. It should bring us to awe and wonder of Jesus Christ. And that is the reason for worship. Well, today as we look, we're going to look at Joseph and we're going to talk about the character of Christmas as another reason to worship. And character is all important. And we understand character. And usually we talk about character. You say someone is a man of character, a woman of character. We think about, you know, they're a good person. But character, really, the word itself is sort of not good. It's not bad. It just means it's the sum of who you are. It's all of your qualities, the way you live, the way you behave, the way you talk. That's kind of who your character is. And it can be good character or bad character. But I understand that when we talk about character, we talk about a person who basically does good and lives good and all of that. But character from God's perspective is even more important or more defined than that. A man of character according to God is a man and a woman who live according to God's rules, not according to man's rules. Because man's rules are ever changing. What man said 200 years ago was right, we now say is wrong. Some of the stuff that people say is right today is most definitely not right. It's living according to God's rules and God's laws and God's plans and God's design that really makes us a man or woman of character. And character is crucial and character is important. And I read some quotes this week about character, and I'd like to read a couple of them. You know, John Wooden, the great basketball coach of UCLA back in the 70s, won multiple championships. He said this, be more concerned with your character than your reputation, because your character is what you really are, while your reputation is merely what others think you are. Character is doing the right thing even when nobody is looking. The evangelist Billy Graham, who preached to hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people in the last century. He said this. He said, when wealth is lost, nothing is lost. When health is lost, something is lost. But when character is lost, all is lost. It has been said that you can easily judge the character of a man by how he treats those who can do nothing for him. And that is my favorite quote of all about character. How you treat people that can do nothing for you says the most about your character. James, in the book of James, says it's how you treat widows and orphans. True religion is the way you treat widows and orphans, because widows and orphans have no ability to repay you. It's one thing to do a favor, to help somebody out that you know can sometime in the future come back and do you a favor. And that's a good thing. That's totally fine. But it is a whole nother level to help someone out and you know there is absolutely no way you'll ever be repaid. And the reason I like that quote so much, because that quote exemplifies exactly what God did for you and for me. God's character is that He came down here and He did for us something that we couldn't do for ourselves, knowing that there is absolutely no way we could ever repay Him. There is nothing we can do to repay God for all that He has done for us. And God did it anyway. And that is the character of God, and that is the character of Christmas. And we're going to look today at Joseph, and we're going to go to Matthew chapter 1. And we're going to walk through Joseph's story, and we're going to look at how Joseph reacted in a time of pressure, and we're going to look at how Joseph behaved, and we're going to look at his qualities, and we're going to see how he reflected the character of God in just a very unique way. Matthew tells us this in Matthew chapter 1. He goes, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows." This is how it happened, he said. "After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph," or engaged to Joseph, "before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit." And Matthew starts the same way that Luke started last week when we looked at Mary's story, emphasizing the virgin birth. He says, "Now Joseph and Mary were engaged, but they had not come together yet physically. She is still a virgin." And we talked last week about the importance of the virgin birth and how important that is. And we talked through that. I'm not going to go through it again this morning. If you didn't see it or if you weren't here last week, I encourage you to go back and look at the sermon from last week where we talked about the virgin birth. But understand, the virgin birth is crucial to our salvation. And Matthew starts off the same way. She is a virgin and they're engaged. It says, "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly." Matthew starts off by telling us that Joseph was a just man. The word means righteous. We see it throughout Scripture. Just means righteous. And when the Bible talks about a person being a righteous man or a righteous woman, a just man or a just woman, it doesn't mean righteous or just according to what man says. It doesn't mean what is right or just according to what man's laws or man's rules or man's morals. It means someone who is righteous according to what God says. We see this talked about with Job, who was upright in character, and he was righteous and just before God and others over and over again. Joseph was a just man, means he was in right standing with God. He was born and he lived under the Old Testament way of life, so he wouldn't have been technically a Christian, but that's the terms that we can think of him as. A godly man who was serving God and doing the right thing according to what God says is right. And if you want to be a godly man of character and a godly woman of character, you've got to follow God's rules, not man's rules. Man's rules are ever changing. Man's rules kind of depend on the weather or how I wake up this morning or whoever's been elected president last. The rules are constantly and always changing. And what man says quite often is never consistent. We must follow God's laws and God's rules, because what God said 2,000 years ago is still true today. And sadly, in our country, there are a lot of churches now that do not necessarily preach God's word is ultimate truth. They like to say, "Well, I know what that passage says, but that was really because of the culture that they lived in back then. Our culture today is different, so those verses don't really mean today what they meant back then." I'm sorry, God's word does not change. And just because the culture changes does not change the truth. God's word stays the same. And if you're going to be righteous before God today, you follow the scriptures of the Old Testament. We do not conform what God has to say to how we think about it or what we feel about it. We conform to Him. And Joseph was a just and righteous man. And then we're about to see how all of this plays out, how Joseph's character plays out in his interaction with Mary and in his response to this incredible news that he gets. It tells us that he's thinking about divorcing her. Now understand, in the Bible days, an engagement was just as binding as a marriage. Today, you can get engaged today and break up tomorrow and hopefully get the ring back. It doesn't matter. An engagement is easily broken in today's culture. In their culture, once you were engaged, once you were betrothed, that was a legal contract, and the only way to get out of it was through a legal proceeding that we call a divorce. So he's thinking about, I might have to divorce her. And why is he thinking about that? Because she had come to him, says, "I'm pregnant, but I'm still a virgin. And I'm sure, and I know for a fact, he's like, I don't think it works that way. Now, in this moment, just don't get ahead. We all know the story, but let's not get ahead. So he's sitting here in this moment, and his fiance has told him he's pregnant, and he's like, I know it's not mine. She has cheated on me. She's been unfaithful to me. Now, she hasn't, okay? In his mind, in this moment, this is what he's going through. My fiance has been unfaithful to me. She has wronged me. She has offended me. She has cheated on me. And he's thinking about how to handle the situation. And he says he wants to put her away privately or divorce her privately. He says, I'm not going to make a spectacle out of this. I'm going to show her some mercy. And I'm going to show her some grace. Joseph could have rightly made this a big public ordeal and had everybody know she's the one that's at fault. It's her fault. It's not my fault. He could have cleared his own name by having a public divorce. And he could have shamed her publicly. And he could have pointed fingers at her publicly. And he could have just piled on and piled on and piled on. But he chose not to. He chose to respond in a way that God responds to us when we sin against Him. We sin against God, yet God still loves us. We sin against God, yet God still pours out mercy and grace into our lives. And Joseph, as a reflection of God's character, was going to decide in this moment to pour out mercy and grace to Mary, the person that had offended him. How often do we respond without mercy and grace to someone that offends us and to someone that hurts us? All the while we offend and we hurt somebody else and we expect them to respond with mercy and grace to us. But I'm not so sure I want to respond to you with mercy and grace. So Joseph is thinking through all of this, and it's a wonderful thing. And as he's thinking through this, it says, while he thought about these things, he didn't give it a momentary thought. It conveys the idea he is pondering, he's thinking, he's going through this, and it's not just in a few moments. He's taking the time to consider, how in the world do I deal with this situation? It says, behold. We looked at that word last week, right? The angel said, behold, Mary. Mary goes, behold, angel. Now Matthew's going, behold, everybody reading. Look, pay attention to what happens while Joseph is taking the time to figure out how to respond properly. It says, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. The fact that Joseph did not react instantly, the fact that he did not react in kind and then just immediately fly off the handle and say, okay, I'm done with you and walk away, the fact that he took time to think things through so that he could react appropriately gave God time to come and intervene. How often do we react in the moment? Or do we make a decision in the moment, or we decide really quickly what we are going to do rather than wait and give God time to come and intervene in our situation? When we react in haste, when we make quick decisions, when we do things without thinking, we jump ahead of God and we put our own selves in danger. But Joseph, taking the time to think, shows this wisdom. And God says, hang on just a second. Let me step into the picture right now. I've got something to say about the situation you're in if you will only listen to me. And the angel appears and he says, look, Joseph. And he appears to him in this dream. He appeared to Mary while she was awake. He appears to Joseph while he's in a dream. I don't know why, other than the fact that God can speak however he chooses. God's message will never change, but God's method of delivering that message quite often will change. And so for Joseph, he came in a dream, and he says, Joseph, son of David. Joseph's father was not David. Matthew tells us earlier in the passage that Joseph's father's name was Jacob. So why did he call Joseph son of David. He called him son of David because he was in the line, in the lineage of King David. And God had made a promise to King David 1,000 years before that, David, I promise you that one of your descendants will reign on the throne of Israel forever. And Joseph was in the line of King David. And Joseph being in the line of King David meant that his firstborn son was going to be in the line of King David. Jesus was not his son biologically, but he was his firstborn son legally. God is telling Joseph, I'm about to fulfill a prophecy that I made over 1,000 years ago, and I'm going to fulfill it through you. And he's also reminding him of his heritage. He's reminding him of who he is. In the lineage of the king, you're of royal bloodline. And if you're a child of the king, that comes with some wonderful rights, and it comes with some wonderful privileges. But being a child of the king also comes with responsibility. If you're a Christian, if you've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, you are a child of God. You are a child of the king. And along with that comes this amazing rights and amazing privileges, most of which we get to celebrate when we get to heaven. But it also comes with responsibilities to behave like a child of God. And he's reminding Joseph of his lineage and of his heritage, that you're a child of the king and you got wonderful privileges, but you also got wonderful expectations. And he says, don't be afraid to bring her home to be your wife. Because I'm sure he had lots of fears. I mean, people aren't going to believe him, right? They're not going to believe this story. Oh, yeah, she was a virgin when she got pregnant and you decided to marry her anyway. Oh, they're not going to believe that. He knew they were going to be shamed. He knew they were going to be shunned. He knew that their life was going to be difficult. But I think there's even more than that. How in the world do you raise the Son of God? You ever thought about that? I mean, I can remember when our kids were born, and there's these tiny little things, like you want to hold him, and I'm like, yes, you know, and I'm holding, and I'm terrified I'm going to drop him. I was, and it just, oh. And I would be like Joseph, what if I drop the Son of God? What's going to happen? What's God going to do to me, right? I'm sure there was lots of fears that come with the responsibility that he was given. But the angel says, don't be afraid. You go and you make her your wife. And then the story continues. And the angel says, she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name, what? Jesus. The word Jesus, the name Jesus means Savior. For he will save his people from their sins. So she gives him the same story that the angel gives Joseph, the same thing he gave Mary. Call his name Jesus. So they didn't have to argue and fight about what are we going to name the child. That's probably a good thing, right? How many of your parents went back and forth over and over? I like that name. I don't like that name, right? They didn't have to argue about it. God said naming Jesus, done deal. We're going to name him Jesus. And then he quotes scripture. Matthew says, so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. He's quoting there Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Over and over and over again, Matthew gives us quotes from the Old Testament. Over 60 quotes from the Old Testament that predict the coming Messiah and all that he would do. Matthew's audience, his primary audience when he wrote the Gospels, was to the Jewish nation. They would have understood the Old Testament. So over and over again, he would remind them, hey, remember what God said in David's day? Hey, remember what God said through the prophet Isaiah? Remember what God said through Ezekiel? Remember what God said through King David? And over again, he would remind them that this is a fulfillment of prophecy. And Matthew's reminding you and reminding me that God keeps his word. And that Jesus is the fulfillment of all of the Old Testament prophecies. He is born of a virgin. He is who he claims to be. And then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. He was obedient. And he did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus. He took her home to be his wife. Now they are legally married, and then he waits till after the birth, because the Bible says that the child will be born of a virgin. Make sure that there is no questions here. We're going to make sure that there is no one who can try to say or argue otherwise. Now, gentlemen, I've got a question for you. How would you have liked it on the day of your wedding, you were told you got to wait about 9 months before you and your wife can have relations? Oh, come on, guys. You know that would have been a tough assignment, would it not? That would have been a tough thing to do. But Joseph did it because it was the right thing to do. And he did it because God said he needs to do that. We see his obedience in all of this. Joseph's character is such a beautiful reflection of what God did for you and I. Amen. And as I was reading through the scriptures this week, and I was looking at Joseph's story, I decided, you know, I'm going to just write down some of the things that I see in Joseph. And I didn't give it any thought. I didn't sit and ponder and try to come up with something. I just started writing down qualities I saw in Joseph as I read through this story. And here's the list that I came up with. We saw that he's righteous. I mean, that's obvious. We're told from the beginning, right? He's a just man. He's righteous. We see him being patient. He doesn't react quickly when he gets this news. We see him being patient even after he gets married. He was gentle with Mary. He didn't want to treat her harshly in public, even though he had been mistreated. He showed wisdom in not reacting right away, but waiting and listening to hear from God. We see sacrifice and selflessness, to be willing to raise a child that was not his. And we see obedience in doing the thing that the angel said, take her home, make her your wife, and he does so. And I wrote those down, and I was looking at them, and I'm going, that looks familiar. That reminds me of another passage of Scripture. And I thought about it for a second, and it hit me. Does these qualities remind anyone in here? Does it remind you of another passage of Scripture? Anybody want to take a shot, take a guess? Galatians, right. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. In other words, the way a person lives when they are living under the influence of the Holy Spirit, they exhibit these nine qualities. Love. I think Joseph was loving, was he not? Joy. Can you imagine the joy that he experienced in raising the Son of God? Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All of the qualities that we see in Joseph, we see in the people who follow the teachings of the Holy Spirit and follow God. And he was exhibiting the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But get this, he wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit. He was an Old Testament saint. The filling of the Holy Spirit for an individual did not come till the day of Pentecost, when Christians were filled with the Holy Spirit. And you and I have, as Christians, we have the indwelling of God Himself, the Holy Spirit in us, to empower us to live out these nine qualities every day. Joseph didn't have that advantage. He did it without that advantage. He knew the Old Testament. He understood the Scriptures. And he was following their teachings. And he was living out these qualities in a unique situation that you and I would never face. But how often do we respond the opposite of these qualities? How often do we not react and engage the world around us with the character of God? The character of Christmas is that God came down to do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. The character of Christmas is that God, while we were still enemies of His, while we were still sinners, He died for us. And you and I need to be like Joseph. We need to reflect the character of God in our daily lives. Remember last week I told you that I like to sit out at night in a clear night and look at the stars, and it just amazes me, all the number of stars, you know, the different constellations, thinking about the distance and how that brings me to wonder and just to be in awe of God Himself. I also like to look at the moon. You know, a beautiful, clear night sky, and it's a full moon, and it's so bright. You know what I'm talking about, right? And sometimes it looks like it is so close you can almost touch it. Isn't that a beautiful sight? Isn't that just wonderful? The thing about it is, the moon has no light of its own. That light you see is not the light of the moon. We say that sometimes. It is the light of the sun as the moon reflects to the earth. You and I, when we live with the character of God inside our lives, when we exhibit with our words and our actions the things that God has called us to do, then we reflect the character of God the way the moon reflects the character of the sun. And that is what we are called to do. And that is what Christmas reminds us of. And that gives us a reason for worship, because God did not give us what we deserved, like Joseph did not give Mary what she deserved. He gave us grace the way Joseph gave grace. The character of Christmas is a reason for worship. Last week, as we were closing, we talked about Mary surrendered to this incredible news because she was in awe of God and she was of great faith. And she said, God, whatever you want, that's what I want. When we think about Mary, we think about surrender. But when I think about Joseph, I think about sacrifice. He lost some of his reputation. People didn't believe him. Not for a long, long time. He gave up a lot. And he sacrificed for God and for Mary. Your character is the most important thing. And here's the truth. Your character is revealed when you're under pressure. And your character is revealed when you're under privacy. What you do in the privacy of your own home when nobody else is watching, the things you say, the things you look at, how you treat people in the privacy of your home, speaks to your character. How you respond when you are under pressure reveals a part of your character. And let's all be honest for a moment. We have all failed that test over and over again. When the pressure hits, it reveals character. And we all are sinners saved by grace, and we are all still growing. But we need to take a look at how we behave under pressure and under privacy, because that reveals a part of our character. And rather than say, well, that's just the way I am, I can't stand it when people say that. I'm like, no. Okay, that's an area where I need to grow. That is an area where my character needs some refinement. There's an area where I've got to do better. And the great news is this. There's mercy and there's grace available every single time you fail. God never says, oh, that's enough. Every time God says, if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So this morning, we worship Jesus. We worship God. We worship at Christmas time. The reason for worship is not just the wonder of Christmas. It is also the character of Christmas, that you and I serve a God that always loves us and always forgives us. And that forgiveness and that mercy and that grace is available to you this morning. If the Holy Spirit has spoken to you and said, you kind of failed that one. There's an area where you need to work on. The good news is that you can be forgiven. And you can be transformed. And God will never give up on you. With heads bowed.
Hi, and thank you for watching. I trust that the sermon blessed you, encouraged you, and inspired you to take your next step of faith. Please click the like and share button on our YouTube page. And if you're in the area, come visit us. Sunday mornings, 11 a.m. We would love to see you. I believe you will find us to be a warm and welcoming people. We just want to love God and love people. And check out our website, summitvillechurch.org. That's summitvillechurch.org. Over there, you can learn more about us. You can check out past sermons. You can also check out future events and things that we have coming up. And we also have a give button. And would you pray about giving to our ministry so we can continue to expand and grow, so we can reach more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Summitville First Baptist Church exists to share the love of Jesus, to bring new life and hope to broken and hurting people. God bless you and have a great day.